you find the scripture, Joshua 24, 14 and 15. Let me read it to you. Therefore, fear the Lord and worship him in sincerity and truth. Get rid of the gods your fathers worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and worship Yahweh, worship God. But if it doesn't please you to worship God, Yahweh, choose for yourselves today the one you will worship, the gods your fathers worshiped beyond the Euphrates River, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. Joshua makes a declaration, as for me and my family, we will worship the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge given to me that you would have me speak, Lord, to a person or their situation, I want to be obedient to speak to that. Lord, help me to remember and know that there's judgment on all of us, but for me, there's a greater judgment than these people because I'm a teacher of your word. And Lord, I accept my place in rightly dividing it. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you today. I picked this passage today because next Sunday, we're going to be entering in a beginning time of Lent. And we do observe the Lent season here at Hope Church. And we're going to walk you through that. Next Sunday will be more informative than today about Lent. But I'm going into a series called Decisions. We have to make decisions. The early service, so that you'll understand our safety team here, we have people watching the parking lot. We have cameras everywhere. We have people watching the hallways. We have people checking doors to make sure they're locked. We let you come into worship, and then when we get you here, we lock you in, right? So there is a pastor detail where people, they actually are with us till we walk to our vehicles because, for obvious reasons. So Tim Baker was my pastor detail this morning, and we were back there in the back, and he said, do you get excited to go out to preach? And I said, yeah, I really do. And he said, like when you played ball? And I go, well, I'm not like running through the paper, you know, or you're announcing, and now preaching, Jeff Eaton, you know, or something like that. So I said, but yeah, because I played college baseball, and I said, yeah, I still do that. I said, but Tim, I said, it's not always fun to deliver things to people, challenges to people that don't want to hear it. And knowing that if they follow Jesus, they have to adjust their life. And you don't like it when I challenge you to adjust your life. Now, you love me later on, especially after I'm dead and gone. Oh, he's such a great guy, you know. You love pastors later on, but you don't love us automatically. Because we tell you stuff you need to hear, but you don't want to hear. Would you agree with that? So I said, it's not always fun. Because you're not always received well, and we want to be liked. I know it's not that you don't like me. It's just, if you follow Jesus, you're going to have to adjust your life. All of us are. And it's a constant adjustment. And you don't like that. You want God to go, don't go to jail, you get $200 and here you go, you know, live your life like you want to. That's what you want to hear, but that's not what you need to hear. Y'all get it? Y'all, can I go on my sermon? Because I'm kind of stuck here. Y'all just looking at me really weird and y'all with it? So if you follow the Lord, you've got to adjust. And as we go through Lent, you're going to be challenged with decisions. And decisions are, you're going to have to make choices on adjusting your life if you're really going to follow him. And today, we're going to be dealing with that. I'm real excited about the Lent season and what we're going to be able to offer you and challenge you with. Also, I'm excited that it would be life-changing for you. We want it to be that for you all. And you're going to be learning new songs, and we're going to be doing stuff. And Commonwealth City Church is a church we're planning on UK's campus, and it's going very, very well. We're going to be doing Lent simultaneously with them. Andrew's going to be coming here preaching. I'm going to be going there preaching, and they're going to bring some of their band here, and we're going to take our praise team there. And that way, Commonwealth is more visible to you, and then Hope is more visible to them, so that they really understand a little more of the connection that we have here. So I'm really excited with that. I love Joshua, not just the book, the person. Joshua was the kind of guy I'd want to hang around. He was a real strong military dude. He was real. He was a great strategist, a great leader. If you remember, it was Joshua and Caleb when the spies came back. You know, they sent all those spies over there, and they said, can we take the land? And Joshua and Caleb were going, yeah, yeah. You know, got a Rambo Bowie knife in his mouth, you know. Yeah, we can take them. And it was the other spies that are like, no, they're too big. Their cities are too big. Their walls are too thick. They're too strong. We can't do that. Joshua was that guy. Let's go take the hill, you know. So I would have liked hanging around him. And he gives a challenge to the people here. And the challenge he gives them is to be faithful to the Lord. Now, hang on. It's because the Lord has been faithful to you. And the people he's talking to are the children, the generations of the people who were led out of Israel. As you know, Moses led them out of Egypt, led the Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery. And they went through the Red Sea, and they were fed manna, and their shoes didn't wear out, their clothes didn't wear out. They provided them with direction, protected them with fire, protected with clouds, made bitter water sweet. He just took care of them. And Moses didn't get to lead them in, but Joshua did. Joshua led them into the promised land. And it was a few generations down that he led into the promised land. And he's saying kind of like a farewell address here. And he's telling them that you need to be faithful to God because God's been faithful to you. And it's a challenge for them to stay in their covenant, stay in covenant renewal. So in verse 14, it begins by saying, therefore, fear the Lord and worship him in sincerity and truth. And it means integrity. Have integrity, not just moral integrity, but godly integrity in your life. Don't have any hint of evil around you. It says don't live that way. It's what the New Testament says. Don't live where people can insinuate that they can connect you with anything evil. Live in such a way as that. Worship him with sincerity and truth and integrity. It means have total devotion. And you're going, how? Here, you should ask the question, how, Jeff? How do I have total devotion to God? Well, Joshua answers this, get rid of all the other gods. Now, I know you're thinking, well, we're talking about gods of the Old Testament, and we're talking about all the different weird things that they worshiped and the idols they worship, and you're going, I don't serve any other gods. And then I've got in my notes, are you sure? With a question mark. Are you sure you don't serve any other gods? Are you thinking the serving of other gods motif is just Old Testament and not today? Do you think that's not here? Let me give you four examples. And we could make a really long list here, but I just want to get your mind to turning. There's the God of self that we serve today, right? And we seek pleasure in this world, in this culture, higher than any. It's just the seeking of pleasure. I mean, it's got to be heightened. I mean, you in some ways, you've got to be entertained, those of you who are here at church. And I know you come from my corny jokes and the gospel. I understand that. Maybe in that order. I'd rather it be the gospel and the corny jokes. Like I heard one recently that was sent to me. Not kidding. Just act like you're coming to the altar for prayer and I'll tell it to you in the altar after you. And so, all right. So here's the God itself. It's pleasure. Let's just have a good time. Let's just go have fun. Well, not all of life is fun. And not all of life is a good time. I mean, my father-in-law is still in the hospital. I could go home and go, okay, Julie, let's go to Central Baptist and let's just have fun. Let's just have a good time. Let's just ride the elevator and scare people. You know? One guy, I thought this was funny. He said that he'd get on the elevator and he would act real weird in the elevator. And then he'd get off like on the second floor, but he'd push the third floor, meaning it was going to open it. And he'd run upstairs real quick. And before the door opened, he'd open up and go, "I heard what you said about me." You know, this weird stuff like that. That has really nothing to do with the sermon. But anyway, the God of self is pleasure. Then hang on to this one. This one kind of goes together. When we serve the God of self, we look to escape all the time. And we want to escape responsibility. Even with our kids, we want to outsource them all the time. Why? So we can go have fun, have pleasure. It's not a whole lot of fun raising kids sometimes. That doesn't mean I don't love my kids. It's not going to mean I'm going to be there for them, but it's just not always fun. We run to escape. You know that old song, "Working for the Weekend." You remember back in the day? Y'all remember that? Thank you. It tells me how old you are. So you know, it's just escapism is even a diagnosis today that we just want to escape all the time. Why? So we can have pleasure, have fun. It's about self. Then we go into fame and greed. Greed is a god of self, because greed is, I don't want you to have it, I want it. So it becomes back to self. And then I could go on, the God of power and control, the God of lust, the God of the love of money, not just money itself, but the love of money. And then we could put those things together. Me and you could, if we spent a few minutes on it reflecting, we could put together a great big list. So you're saying I don't serve other gods. Yeah. Can we get real honest? Some people aren't here today because of the snow, but they'll be at the Super Bowl party this afternoon, even with the snow. They really said, "I'm not going to church this morning because of the weather conditions," but they won't say that about this afternoon. Am I being honest or real? You see what I'm saying? You're going, "That's too slick, go to church." That's not too slick, go to the Super Bowl party. Right? And you think you don't worship other things. Here's the thing that is going to trip us up here today. God knows who we truly worship. Let me show you how I know that. In this verse alone, go to the other verse, Tammy, if you will, 14. He says, "Get rid of gods," and I want to show you how detailed he is. Look, he doesn't just say get rid of other gods. He says, "Get rid of other gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates." I mean, he even geographically says it. That's how detailed he knows it. Like the Lord knows how devoted to him my ancestors were and yours. Or how not devoted they were. He knows. The Lord, in my genealogy, can tell you when the faithfulness line started. Are y'all listening? He can take my genealogy and go, right here's where it started. So if there's, he can find that faithfulness, he can find the disobedience with it too. And he's so detailed. He doesn't just say the gods, lowercase g, of your fathers. He said the ones beyond the Euphrates River, and then even more detailed, and in Egypt. Because they were slaves in Egypt, you would think they would be crying out. And some of them did cry out to God. God sent Moses. Moses came and delivered them and took them to the promised land. He answered their prayer. But he's also saying, some of you didn't call out to me. Some of you worshiped other gods while you're in slavery to Egypt. And I know about it. And in Leviticus, it tells us that some of them made goat idols. And in Deuteronomy, it says some of them made idols that were demonic. And they worshiped those demonic gods and those goat idols. Leviticus and Deuteronomy tell us that. And that's how detailed he is. He not only says, I know that you worshiped other gods, he's geographically saying in detail, those gods on the other side of the Euphrates, and then also the gods you worshiped in Egypt. And then look at verse 15. He gets just as detailed. He says, now, in the very bottom, he says, not only Euphrates, but the god of the Amorites that you're worshiping now, where you live now. So the Lord is mentioning the old and the new, the past and the recent. And he's saying, I know who you really, really worship. And you need to get rid of these, he says. He says, I need you to get rid of these. And if God knows who we truly worship, and that alone, it matters to me that God knows who I truly worship. It matters to me. And I want it to matter to you. I want it to matter to you that who you really worship. Because we can give off a mask or a front that we can even use the right kind of language and be super spiritual. And then we find out the Lord knows who we really worship. You may fool a spouse, a relative, a boss, a coworker, a neighbor, even a preacher, a pastor, or a church. You may fool us. But you'll never fool him. He knows very detailed if it's just lip service, if it's a front, or if you really, really, really are worshiping him. See, that's why we're going into Lent season with a series of decisions, because you have to make choices. All of us do. And if you really choose to follow Jesus, you're going to have to adjust your life. And that's what Lent tries to do, because it gets you fasting if you participate. It gets you replacing a fast. Like if you take away a meal, replace it with Bible study and prayer. And the replacement is just as important. And then it's telling you to be generous with your money, because we learned in Deuteronomy, it's not ours anyway. And if you think it is yours, then that's not biblical thinking. That may be your thinking, but it's not biblical thinking. It may be the way you think, but it's not the way Scripture teaches. You'll never find where the Lord tells you that it's yours. He won't tell you that. His word will not tell you that. So we're going, okay, so what I need to get rid of? Well, the Holy Spirit's going to show you what you need to get rid of. And I want it to matter to you, because it matters to me for me, but it matters to me for you. This is like the conversation with Tim Baker. Yeah, I enjoy preaching, but I love you deeply. But I love you deeply enough to tell you the truth. And I know most of what I tell you, you don't want to hear. You'll love me later. You may not love me now. But realize, I truly love you. I truly love you. Because we've got to pay attention to where our lives are going. Serving other gods is just not an Old Testament principle. We really are beginning to do that today. And I'm not talking about legalism. I'm not talking about the rules of the church. I'm just talking about following him. The challenge he gives to us is in verse 15. And he begins by saying, if it, meaning following God, if it doesn't please you to worship Yahweh, then choose one of the other gods. Serve the gods of the Euphrates. Serve the gods that you worshiped in Egypt. Serve the gods that the Amorites worship, as you do now where you're living. Go ahead. You know, counseling is getting this way, basically, because people are different. And sometimes in a counseling conversation, people are going, I just don't know if I want to surrender to him. And I'm going, okay, don't. But don't come complaining to me 10 years from now. If you want to serve other gods, go serve them. Have the best life you can, because it's going to be a miserable eternity. My best friend, Steve Ayers, says it this way, as only he can say it. He said, hey, Eaton. I said, yeah. He said, I had a conversation with a guy the other day, and he goes, I just don't want to accept your Jesus. And Ayers says, well, go on to hell. Just go on. If that's where you want to go, just go on. And it says, but that's what really Joshua was saying. He's a little kinder. He's a little softer with it. But that's really what he's saying. If this doesn't please you to worship Yahweh, then go on. Choose for yourselves. If you're going to worship the gods of your fathers beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites where you're now living, go on. Go on and do it. You know, just because you're here doesn't mean you truly worship the Lord. I'm glad you're here. But it doesn't mean that. The Lord knows your heart if you truly worship him. And I'm telling you, me included, don't throw me out of the mix. For Julie and me to follow the Lord, we still have to adjust our lives. My son, my daughter, it doesn't matter who you are. If you follow Christ, there is constant tweaking and adjustment to follow him. It's not this one size fits all necessarily. There's things I need to get rid of. There's things that I may pay a little more attention to than I should. It goes on and on. I'll speak to that in just a moment. So the challenge, he says, if it doesn't please you, then go on. Here is where Joshua's a little cocky. Joshua says, if it doesn't please you to serve the Lord, then go on and serve all these other gods. Joshua is confident that if they ever encounter God, they will not want to leave him. That if you really ever truly encounter him, because it mesmerizes me, and we're going to deal with this during Lent in the sermon series Decisions, that here Jesus speaks to these people briefly and they drop their job. I mean, it'd be like you dropping your job and following me. And I'm going, what happened? What happened in that conversation to make them drop their vocation, their work, and follow him? I mean, it's mesmerizing to me. But in some ways, you and I have done the same thing. But when we follow him, we're going to have to make adjustments to be able to do that. Also, Joshua's challenge to them, he knows the Lord, and he knows that his promises are true. In fact, one of the scripture verses in Joshua is Joshua says, you will always find that the promises of God are always true. I want to speak to that for a moment. Julian, I totally thank you for your prayers. For us, if I don't really expect you to think about me and my life, our life, but we're constantly given care in some form. We were giving care to Tom, and then there was Tom's death, and we've constantly been giving care to my mother and father-in-law, Julie's parents. And I told her, I know this is going to sound kind of crazy, but I said, Julie, if anything happens to you, you need to understand. I know you know this, but I'm going to take care of your mom and dad like they're my own. And that's just the way I feel about them, period. And you know that I feel that way about them. But we're constantly giving care. But I want to go back to Tom's death for a moment. We're getting better. We're not over it. We still miss him. And you know Julie. If any of you know Julie, there's pictures of Tom everywhere. That's fine with me. I don't care. We constantly are remembering. We're coming up on 6 months. It's hard to believe. But we're getting better. We're getting stronger. And I don't look back at Tom's death and go, okay, God, you welcome Tom into heaven. That's kind of ticked me off because I wanted you to heal him here and I'm not going to have anything to do with you anymore. That's not happened. I look back over Tom's sickness. He has been faithful to Laura. He has been faithful to Julie and me. He's been faithful to her parents. He's been faithful to Andrew. And even in Tom's death, he's been faithful to Tom. He never left Tom. He never forgot Tom. He welcomed Tom. And here's what I want to say to you. I know God well enough. I don't want to not be with him. And Joshua's challenge was, if it doesn't please you to serve Yahweh, then go on and serve these other gods. Because down deep inside of Joshua, he's going, if you really, truly knew him, you wouldn't want to leave him. And I think I can say that to you. Some of you like, I don't, you know, church may have burnt you, and we're certainly capable of it. Don't think we're not. And sometimes that happens because you have expectations out of people that you don't find, and you get mad, and you say, church burnt me. That's really true. And the expectations were unrealistic to begin with. But I want you to know that I know the Lord deep enough that even in some of our darkest times, He has remained faithful to me and my family. It was my prayer for God to heal Tom? Yes. He just didn't heal him here. And I'm dealing with that. I'm getting there, but my faith and trust is still in the Lord. Once you know Him, you really don't want to leave Him. And so what does that say about people who want to leave Him? Maybe they really didn't know Him. And that's really what Joshua is saying. Because he's saying, if it doesn't please you to serve Yahweh, well, go serve the other gods. Because Joshua is really saying, if you really knew Him, you wouldn't be in this place to begin with. That you're still going to be there. Do y'all see that? And in that, he says, I want you, I'm urging you to get things right. Look at the end of verse 15. This is a declaration by Joshua. He says, as for me and my family, we will worship Yahweh. And you think having Yahweh is crazy in the rest. That's actually a Baptist version, by the way. It's called Holman. So they use Yahweh instead of God. As for me and my family, we will worship God. We will worship the Lord. It's a public declaration. He makes that declaration in front of a majority of people. And the majority is against him. So he's in the minority here. And as a sturdy old warrior that he is, he sets the example that even though we are all not in agreement, I am still going to lead you. Now, I'm not Joshua, but we may not all be in agreement, but I'm telling you, I'm still going to lead you. And I'm going to lead you to put your faith and trust in Christ and to worship Him and Him only. And I'm going to continually challenge you in that. I'm going to lead you to His love and the fulfillment of His promises, because it's very true in our own lives. Even some of our darkest days, God has remained faithful to the Eaton family. Grateful. We're grateful for that. And when he says this, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord, he's using discipleship. Now, all through 2018 and beyond, I'm probably going to make you sick of the word discipleship, but as I teach you and pour into your lives, you're going to hear this. Discipleship happens where you live, work, and play. All right? Now, I'm going to have to really crawl into your mind and change the tradition button, or really just pull the wires out of it, okay? Because we were geared that we get people and bring them on our campus and we disciple them. And what you got to understand is discipleship is going to happen where you live, work, and play. And here with Joshua, it's happening where he lives. Because he announces to the people, as for me and my family, and his family in that culture meant not only his family, but his extended family, because of the patriarchal society, the way it worked. It also meant his servants. We are going to serve the Lord. Now, it's my prayer in here that every man in here say that about your family. It really is. That's been a private prayer for me for 24 years. That every man that I influence can make that declaration. As we get into the series, Decisions in Lent, you're going to find out that women have no problem putting their faith and trust in Christ. It happens real quick. They're intuitive. They know the Lord loves them. They know of His forgiveness. And they're easily connected to Jesus. Obviously, not everyone is, but most women are. Guys, you and I are the hardest ones to connect to Christ. You know why? Because we don't need anything or anybody. Ladies, you can amen that. I was really expecting a spontaneous amen from the ladies on that, unless you're living in fear. But who really should be leading our families and our churches? The design is a man. And that's not chauvinistic in any form or fashion. But the men should be. Who really has? It's been the women. Why? They easily connect to Christ. If you read the Gospels, you'll see that. Women connect to the Lordship of Jesus fairly simply. Men have a more difficult time in doing it because we don't think we need anything. And he's mentioning his own discipleship here because discipleship happens where you live, work, and play. And as for me and my family, this is where he lives. We will serve the Lord. And men, I really do pray that you become that and you work in that. Here's the challenge. You and I have to make choices. Yes, unless the Holy Spirit leads you, you're not led. That's true. But when the Holy Spirit leads us, we have to make choices. And I'm going to teach you and lead you through this Lent season that when you make decisions to follow the Lord and even steps of a deeper relationship, you and I are going to have to adjust our lives. We're going to have to continually make choices. The making of choices is not going to stop. It's going to evermore continue. You know, one of the things with my daughter, you know how connected to Sissy I am, to Laura. I just want to go be daddy, and I just want to shelter her and scoop her up and take care of her and get all of her meals and wash her car and fill it up with gas and all those things. And if you know Laura, Laura doesn't want that from me. And I've had to really reserve and say, okay, Lord, you know Laura better than I do. You know her better than I do. And I need you to help me. And you know what he says to me? He says, I've got Laura. I've got Laura. Don't you forget that I'm her heavenly father. You have the blessing of being her earthly father. And I have to live in the confidence that my heavenly father has my daughter's life in his hands. And that's where I am. And when the door opens for me, I'm patiently waiting for that. But I live in the confidence that he had me all these years. And I live in the confidence that he's had you all these years. I'm going to live in the confidence that he has my daughter in the grip of his hand, because I know him. I know him. I just don't know about him. I know him. And I know his promises are true. So see, I even have to make a decision in following Jesus to back off. Do you see that? It's not to engage. It's to back off. I have to make that decision. How many of y'all know me fairly well? How easy of a decision is that for me? You know it's a tough decision for me. But I know him, and I know he has her, and I rest in that. Does that make sense? So we have to make choices. Get rid of the other gods. Surrender to him and follow him. I love you. I love you, and I tell you stuff you don't want to hear, but you need to hear. And we're going to do this. I'm looking for 2018. Not that I'm putting it in a calendar setting, but you just understand it when I say it. I'm looking for this to be a magnificent year, for ministries to be unleashed, for people to be discipled deeper, for people to come to Christ. Amen. Do you trust the Lord in me and with that? Do you do that? And I'm going to say this before invitation. He's strumming on guitar. With Drew and Catherine being gone, Logan is still our student pastor, so don't forget that. And he oversees them. He's also taking on leading worship here and making sure they've got worship in the warehouse, worship on Wednesday nights. They practice on Thursday nights. He's going to be having worship for Vacation Bible School. Our praise teams are going to be going to Lexington. Their praise teams and preachers are going to be coming here. And I did this to him. I wanted to do it privately, but I did this in the early service. And you may not think it fits fine, but I think it fits fine here. And I put my arm around him and I said, Logan, I believe in you. And I do believe in him. Church, I want you to believe in Logan too. Will you let him know that you believe in him right now? Will you do that? I told him he owed me Zaxby's for that. So I'm expecting Zaxby's. Because I heard he ordered a 60 chicken plate a while ago for the Super Bowl party. That's what I'm thinking is for me. I don't really think it's for you. Here's our invitation. Can we go from that to being serious? I think we can. If you're here and you've never surrendered your life to Christ today, come. Come. There'll be people in the altar who'll minister to you and with you. If you're a believer, we offer communion. The bread represents his body. Given the drink represents his blood shed. Take the bread, dip it into the drink, and before you eat it, remember his sacrifice and give thanks. I really believe something happens at the table when you remember him. I really do believe that. We have to make choices. Make the choices that follow him. You'll never regret it, I promise you. The best thing that can happen to any of our lives is that we surrender our lives to Jesus. Nothing precedes that. I'm going to ask you to stand where you are. Logan's going to lead us. Counselors, find your spot. The invitation is, whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come.